Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you had a good weekend, and I just wanted to come out swinging and really put the onus on you. What would you do if it were your call, if you had tyrannical authority here in the United States of America? What would you do when it comes to these school shootings and the issue of gun control and what's going on as a result of Parkland, most recently, of course, on Valentine's Day, Nicholas Cruz, 19 years of age. There at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, killed 17, wounded 14, of which, you know, 49-year-old, a 37-year-old, a 35-year-old, an 18-year-old, three 17-year-olds, a 16-year-old, two 15-year-olds, and seven 14-year-olds. And so all of a sudden we're talking about, gun control bill taking center stage in Florida today. Seeks to raise the minimum age to purchase a rifle and create a longer waiting period for anyone seeking to purchase one. Florida Governor Rick Scott, meanwhile, has been pushing the legislature to pass a bill that would add around 1,000 armed guards to Florida schools, but opposes arming teachers in the classroom. President Trump came out on that one recently, and a recent poll showed about half of the people polled supported Trump's plan for arming teachers after the Florida school shooting. That was a poll that came out by a Morning Consult and Politico poll. And about 50% of those polled supported arming teachers, 43% opposed it, 8% said they don't know. And so that's got some steam out there in the Senate. Marco Rubio and a few others introduced a bill that was, it's not directly dealing with gun control per se, but it is about communication and law enforcement between the federal and the state level, where people that should not be trying to purchase a gun, that information, if they try, that information gets spread around more quickly. So you got all kinds of stuff out there in terms of dealing with this issue of mass shootings in schools and gun control. So my question for you, and I want to open up the phone lines immediately, is let's just say you had the ability, the power, the authority to do it. What would you do? And I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just curious to see what you – I'm very interested, always interested to see what you guys are thinking and how you're reacting to this. Most of you are conservatives. Most of you are Christians. And many of you born-again Christians. Most of you consider yourselves Christians. And I'm pretty wide demographic on this show. So I'm curious how you're reacting to this yet another unfortunate incident, this time at Parkland – in Parkland, Florida on Valentine's Day. Again, 17 killed and 14 wounded. What would you do? How do you come at this? What issue or number of issues are you looking at when it comes to this gun issue and this mass shooting, specifically in schools at this point? You've got mental illness. You've got parenting. You've got violent video games, violent movies on the heels of the Oscars, which I didn't watch, and I'm sure most of you probably didn't as well. So violent movies, those are there. What about teachers and arming teachers, gun laws in general, gun-free zones? All these schools are gun-free zones where these things have taken place. And, of course, assault rifle bans and bump stocks and all that kind of stuff. What would you do if you had the ability, if you had the authority, what would you do about trying to protect our young people in schools around America? 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884. 7884. I had no intention of talking for the whole show today, so I want you to be a part of it. I really want to kind of see what you guys are thinking and what you believe needs to be done, if anything. Maybe you think, hey, it's just an evil world. It's a messed up world, Steve. These things are going to happen. Whether you go all the way back to Cain and Abel and he killed his brother with a rock or a knife or a club or a car or a bomb or a gun, be it an assault rifle or a handgun, whatever. We're obviously not going to outlaw, nor can we, eliminate the sin nature of mankind. But if you could, what would you do? Please call in today. 866-348-7884 is the number here on the show. 866-34-TRUTH is an easier way to remember. And by the way, if you happen to be listening on our brand-new affiliate, KDIA, The Light for San Francisco, they're live now. So we're excited to be live there in San Francisco. You, of course, live in a different state than I do here in North Carolina. Very different views on a lot of things, and definitely on gun control. But if somebody from our friend at KDIA out there in San Francisco, if you want to call in and chime in on today's show, you'll also not just to get to be on the air, but I'm going to send you a copy of my book as a way of thanks for tuning in and checking us out. No Sacred Cows is the name of the book, and we would just need your name and email address, and I'd love to send you a copy. If you're on our new affiliate listening and you call in out there in San Francisco, which is really cool, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, what would you do if you could? If you could just wave your magic wand and make some things happen, or perhaps nothing happen in America when it comes to our schools and the issue of guns and these mass shootings in schools, what would you do? I want to hear from you today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. There is, unfortunately, a long history of gun shootings in schools in America, all the way back to the late 1700s. I was looking at this earlier today, but all the way back. And if you guys on Facebook Live want to chime in as well, you can just type your answer and I'll share that on the air. But all the way back into the late 1700s, 1794, the very first, when some American Indians came in and shot and killed four kids in a school. And then you move forward and you really don't start to see big numbers. I mean, every number matters. But big numbers in terms of mass shootings until 1999, of course, that was Columbine. 15 killed, 21 injured. Red Lake, Minnesota in 2005, 10 killed, 7 injured. Of course, the Amish school in Pennsylvania, that was back in 2006, 6 killed, 3 injured. The Virginia Tech shooting, in terms of school shootings, by far was the worst, 2007. At Virginia Tech College, Virginia Tech, 33 killed, 23 injured. Northern Illinois University, you may remember this one, in 2008, 6 were killed, 21 were injured. Oikos University in California in 2012, 7 killed, 3 injured. Now, there's a spate of them. There's a whole big list of, you know, one here, two there, one here, one there. And those are usually one-on-one. It kind of, you know, the street violence shows up in the school. But we're talking about mass shootings, of course. One of the worst that we've all dealt with is Sandy Hook Elementary School, because so many of these victims were young children. Elementary school age, 28 killed, 2 injured that day in 2012. Maryville High School in the state of Washington back in 2014, 5 killed, 1 injured. Umpqua Community College in Oregon in 2015, 10 killed, 9 injured. And then, of course, Marjorie Stonewall, or Stonewall Douglas High School in Parkland, Illinois, Florida, 17 killed, 14 injured just a couple weeks ago on Valentine's Day. What would you do if you could when it comes to securing our kids at school? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Awfully quiet out there, you guys. People have been chiming in on guns, but I want to hear from you. What would you do? Would it be a combination of things? What do you think about the age things? You can buy a handgun at 21. You can buy a rifle at 18. And now in Florida, they're trying to reverse that and make it all 21. You can't buy a gun on your own until you're 21. When we say you're a legal status adult when you're 18, we'll draft you and put an M4 in your hand and send you off to war when you're 18. Can we turn? But that's in a contained environment, right? The military training, contained environment. You're not carrying your M4 to the grocery store at the end of a long day working on the base. So, what do you think? What would you do if you could? If you could make some changes in this country on the issue of guns, and would you maybe just harden the schools? Maybe we just need a couple of trained guards carrying weapons. Every school is a gun-free zone, and that's where a lot of these psychopaths, and I say psycho because mental illness is a part of it. You go to a gun-free zone, well, hey, you're pretty safe there until the cops show up. And in the case of Parkland, Florida, even some cops showing up didn't exactly work right away, did it? As one of them, at least one of them, stood outside and didn't go in, which it'll be interesting as more information comes out on that. But that sure looks like an issue of cowardice. Do you want to start arming teachers, have certain teachers that are capable? We've got a lot of retired military folks out there. Maybe we need to get them in. What would you do when it comes to trying to protect our children in our schools around the country? Or would you do nothing? I want to hear from you today on the show. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Come on, I could talk all hour, but I don't really want to. I want to hear from you. So please pick up the phone and give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think needs to be done? And I'm not going to debate you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just curious as to what you think. What would you do if you could? If you had that authority, what would you do in order to try to make a difference here in America when it comes to our schools and these issues of mass shootings? And of course, a lot of people going after the NRA. So the NRA is to blame? I mean, I got into it a little bit the other day on Facebook with a young man who was, basically calling the NRA a bunch of terrorists. I'm like, come on. I get so sick of hyperbole and all the hyperactive talk, which especially shows up on social media, but you hear it in plenty of talk radio as well. And on the mainstream media, that doesn't do any good. Just over-emotional hyperbole thrown around there. We just kind of get in our bunkers and throw bumper stickers at each other. It's ridiculous and doesn't help. But what would you do if you had, literally, if you had the opportunity and you could make some changes in this country, what would you do? What do you think would help in terms of this country? What about changing the age? We've got 18-year-olds that can buy a rifle, but they can't buy a handgun until they're 21. Should it all be 21? What about mental health? What about hardening our schools? What would you do when it comes to trying to impact safety for our kids and our school systems around the country? Let's go to Elaine, who's calling in on Truth Radio up there in Des Moines, Iowa. Elaine, thanks for listening and calling in today. Go right ahead.
Well, I think it would be good if you put some of the military in there. Screen them really good and give them something to do. Give them a job. There's plenty of them out there unemployed.
Yeah, you mean like ex-military or retired military?
Yeah,
and that's and so you wouldn't have a problem with having somebody, as long as they're trained, we've vetted them well, we know emotionally that they're stable and we can trust them with our kids, just have some armed guards there. I would like to think, Elaine, that would make a difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Elaine. I appreciate that. And you go, what about, that just made me think of, what about all of our reserve people? What about the National Guard? What are they doing every day of the week, the ones that are spending their time? What if we run National Guard people and we have a couple of National Guard? They're already on the payroll. They already have weapons. They're already trained. I don't think we've had any National Guard people go ballistic in recent history, have we? And none that I know of that would be a threat in any way. But we certainly have enough trained people out there with weapons. Should we be putting them in our schools? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-34-TRUTH. What would you do if you could just kind of enact your own legislation when it comes to trying to make our schools safer here in the United States of America? Let's go to, I'm going to jump over to Phil, who's calling in from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Phil, thanks for listening and calling in. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I see it as you have two main issues. One is the fact that owning a gun and using a gun to protect yourself in this country is a right. It's not something that is negotiable. It's not something that your emotions can remove from everybody else because you don't like them or they scare you.
Yep.
It's a right in this country, and you have to start with that. That's what makes it so strong and so difficult to remove, because it's not supposed to be removed. If you don't like the options in the country, then leave the country. Don't try and change our country to accommodate your feelings.
But we do have some limits on that, Phil. People can't go out and buy a 50 caliber machine gun. They can't have a mortar launcher in the backyard. I mean, we have some limits on weaponry in this country. So you're just talking about, in general, the Second Amendment, of course.
And because that's what's constantly being attacked.
Right.
And then the other side of it is mental instability. And it's not the gun that's killing people, believe it or not. They don't just jump up and shoot people. It is actually a person in mental difficulty or just deranged who is operating that weapon or a car or a knife or anything.
Yeah.
And it seems to be ignored that the gun somehow is doing this, or the gun is allowing this person to do this. And it is just the vehicle that's been chosen to create the chaos. So, I mean, addressing the mental health issue could be much stronger. I mean, it might be even considered an invasion of privacy, but if you're going to buy a gun, understanding your mental position, and I'm sorry to say it, some of our poor boys coming back from overseas aren't always in the strongest mental position. And so
right.
That should be just like any other person. They should all be.
So you would be okay, Phil, with some sort of really a mental test for gun ownership. Would you be okay with that?
Isn't that where the real problem lies, is in the operator of the weapon? And, I mean, it's short of a criminal, and most of these situations, people have criminally purchased the weapon or got a hold of the weapon. And it's not a legal purchase anyways, but we have seen a few that are.
Yep,
so
that's right.
I would have to say that would be the real problem is the person getting that gun.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Yeah, I hear you, Phil. I got to jump on some other calls, but thanks for calling in and sharing that. And Phil makes a great point. And sorry, but I had to jump off of there, Phil, but thanks for calling in. And yeah, I mean, look, if you go back to Parkland and look at what happened with Mr. Cruz down there with Nicholas Cruz, there's all kinds of, you don't have to enact a single law. You just have to do a better job of dealing with everything that they missed. I mean, 39 calls to his home over those years. The school had kicked them out. A lot of people in the school have already remarked if anybody was going to do it, it was going to be Nicholas Cruz. There was all kinds of stuff there. The FBI dropped the ball not once but twice. And so you don't have to change a single law. Just do better law enforcement and do better mental health enforcement in terms of looking out for it. But on that note, if you're going to all of a sudden start enforcing some kind of mental health standard, who gets to determine the standard and how do they enact that? That's where you start handing over a whole lot of scary control to the federal government, and that should make all of us nervous. I'm going to jump over to, real quick, I'm going to go to Fred, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Fred, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was calling because I think really what should happen is they should put a large tax on just buying any pistol, gun, or what have you, and have the government stop taking money from special interests like the National Rifle Association.
Well, that's way
they could still get the money for it, but at the same time not have to sway their way every time they talk.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting idea there, Fred, calling in from Winston-Salem. It's an interesting idea. And then, of course, we politicize everything. NRA is part of that when you get into politics. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about a hot potato today, of course. Gun control and trying to secure the safety of our children while they're in schools. Would you change a lot? Would you change very little? Would you change nothing? Again, when you look at the Parkland, Florida shooting on Valentine's Day, which is a horrendous tragedy, 17 killed, 14 wounded, of which, there were 7 14-year-olds, 2 15-year-olds, a 16-year-old, 3 17-year-olds, an 18-year-old, and then the teachers, 35, 37, and 49. And that obviously, with the 39 visits to Nicholas Cruz's house and the FBI dropping the ball a couple of times, there were so many things going on that there were red flags all over the place about this guy, that he could buy a gun legally. My position is that's a problem. But again, if you're going to start making mental health a barometer for who can buy a gun, who determines what the mental health standards are? How are those enforced? And what if you have a bad couple of years because you're depressed or dealing with anxiety and then you make a turn and things are getting better? How do you get yourself removed from that list so all of a sudden you can exercise your Second Amendment right to own and keep an arm, to own and keep weapons, to buy a gun? So if every time you start looking to the government, and I teach this every week, every time you start giving the government more power to come in here, you say, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our safety, you're arming the monster. More bureaucracy, more laws, less freedom, less liberty. And you never get that stuff back from the government. Once they take it, they don't give it back. So we have to be really careful with that. I'm going to jump over to, let's go to Pastor Dan, who's calling in from North Carolina. Pastor, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I agree with you. I'm listening to your show, and I'm listening to the others who are speaking. And no doubt about it that we are living in perilous days, very dangerous days. And as you have been saying, this is happening not only in our schools, it happens in church now, it happens everywhere. And it's sad, it's very unfortunate. But because of what is happening, I agree that the only way that we could really, truly stand up to this situation is that we need to take the proper steps, and it's not gun control. A criminal doesn't care about a concealed license. A criminal doesn't care a sign on the entrance of any establishment that says no weapons allowed. They don't care, especially, unfortunately, the mentally ill is something else that needs to be addressed seriously. I really believe that everyone in Florida with this ultimate case in Parkland, the last case that happened, everyone, a lot of people dropped the ball there. A lot of people.
A lot of people.
And I pray that it's a lesson so that we really take a hard look at this situation and we take the proper steps. This is something that you never know when it's going to happen. It's unpredictable. We just all of a sudden we turn on the news and there's another shooting.
Right.
It's in the mall this time. It's over here. It's over there. I truly believe that we need to be more prepared. I believe and I agree that teachers that are capable, those that perhaps have had military training in the past, they could be coaches, they could be teachers.
Sure.
Yes, they should have a gun. They should be armed. I'm sure the outcome would have been so much different if God knows how many would have been armed.
Yeah.
They would have had weapons in that school that day. Maybe 17 souls would not have been taken.
That's right.
We have to answer in a proper manner, and I don't believe it's a citizen, a law-abiding citizen, doesn't commit crimes.
No, that's exactly
right.
They are
the ones that they can be there to help
in
such a drastic situation like what happened.
Absolutely. Pastor, thanks for calling in and sharing that today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's jump over to Chris is calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Oh, I think we lost Chris. Let's try to get Mary, who's calling in right here. Oh, I think we lost Mary. Let's go to George, who's calling in from Cary, North Carolina. George, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks. All right, so a couple things here. I was listening to Glenn Beck, and he made a pretty interesting point, and I've heard it before, that the Second Amendment was created a long time ago so that the citizens can arm themselves against an out-of-control tyrannical government. So if, do you see what I'm saying?
And so yeah, oh, absolutely, if, yep.
It's not so that we can go hunting or just to protect ourselves from the bad guys. It was actually we have a right to protect ourselves as citizens if the government goes berserk. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
and
a,
you
well,
think
that,
of the way the government is going right now. It might
right,
be where
right.
you're. We may want a gun right now. You know?
Yeah, and George, I appreciate you making that point and calling in and sharing that. And that's exactly right. I mean, when you look back in context, I mean, you have to study the Constitution and you have to look at our founding fathers and you have to put that in context exactly like we do with the Bible. Okay, you have to study in context. And if you want to call in, we'll still take a few more calls before the end of this segment. Then I'm going to have Paula Reinhart, who's an excellent, she's a great teacher, a great counselor, an author. She's doing an event here in North Carolina this Saturday that I want to mention and give some time to and just allow her to be an encouragement to you ladies out there. She's just an excellent, excellent godly woman. So she's going to be on in the last segment. But if you wanted to chime in as we finish up our conversation today on this gun issue, and it won't be the end of the conversation, obviously, you can still do that. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And yes, to raise up a militia, the militia is a separate part of the Second Amendment so that you can arm a militia. But any old citizen can have access to keep and bear arms, which originally, remember our founding fathers, what did they just come out of? They just came out of the tyrannical rule of the crown. And so if you didn't have a citizen, an armed citizenry, you would not have been able to defeat the crown of Great Britain. It wouldn't have happened. So they're sitting there going, okay, we know because of human depravity and human sin that governments can get out of control, and the more power they have, the more they move towards tyranny. And sometimes the only thing that can restrain a government from taking advantage of its people is if its people can shoot back. That was exactly the context of the Second Amendment when it was added in the Bill of Rights early on, 1789, when we finally ratified the Constitution. So you have to take that into consideration. But again, there are some limits. We have, you can't be 14 years old. You can't go buy a gun then. We can't, we're not going to allow you to get a machine gun, 50 caliber gun, because you just want to, be able to blow stuff away in your backyard. We don't allow that. So there are some limits on that, just like there are some limits on speech and many of our other rights as American citizens. But can you just pass one law and that solves it? Listen, I did the math. Of all the mass shootings in schools in American history, assault weapons accounted for 0.00048% of those killings. That was the amount of assault weapons in America because there's about 3 million of them in America. So most people, like our other caller said, are law-abiding citizens. You don't have to worry about them. But criminals are going to get guns no matter what, unfortunately. And then, of course, the mentally ill. We have to deal with that. I think that's a legitimate concern. Let's go to David, who's calling in from Richmond, Virginia. David, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I got a comment on the mental health part of this situation. We work with the mental health in our profession. one of the major problems that I've seen is that a lot of the people that have mental health issues, if they're not found out by age 5, they ignore them. What they do is they leave them with their families that have no idea how to handle it. And with that, that's a major loophole. And they won't fund what they need. The problem that I've seen as well, as a provider in the mental health system, the people that run this, which is the government, which is bad, they abuse the providers, cut funding, and stuff like that, therefore leaving people out there to suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
This is a big, big problem, and people need to address that.
Yeah, and so you take that's a great point, David. Thanks so much for calling and listening today. People are falling through the cracks, just like Mr. Cruz fell through the cracks. And then people end up dying. Nicholas Cruz falls through the cracks where he should have been picked up mentally. In terms of picked up, I mean just in the system, people should be paying attention. And our last caller from Richmond saying, hey, there's all kinds of people falling through the cracks. Now, thank God most of them are not going to go get a gun and start killing people. But that's the one thing, Columbine over and over and over again. Sandy Hook, the guy Dylan Roof that walked into the prayer meeting in Charleston, they're all nuts. They just, I mean, yes, evil, yes, demonic. And yes, mentally ill, and they're falling through the cracks. And that's not a gun issue. That's a mental illness issue, which I think has to be really front and center in this whole conversation. Let's jump over to Andy's calling in from North Carolina as well. Andy, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve, my brother. Thank you for all you do, first of all. It's a great show. Love it.
You're welcome. Thanks.
I'm just curious about, has anybody, I've not really heard this discussed or thought of, but what about the other side of the coin about Army teachers? And does no one worry about the proliferation of guns in the school now right. that, you know, teens might get a hold of? So if there's 40 teachers on average in a school, 20% are armed, that's 8 extra guns per school that are available. The kids that don't always use the best judgment, you know, Nicholas Cruz was a student before, you know, he right. lost it. Could he have lost it in the school and had immediate access to the gun at the teacher? You know, because right. teachers are getting pummeled. Constantly. So
sure. I think that's a great point, Andy. I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna speak about this real quick because I'm up against the break. But thanks for calling and for your compliment. I think it's a great point. That's why if you're gonna have a teacher carrying a weapon in a school, you gotta talk about the bar being high. You gotta raise the bar way up there for training, for background checks, for mental stability, and. You know, how do you keep that teacher from being bum-rushed by some psychopath crazy kid that wants to steal the gun? It better be a teacher. Probably can't be a 5'4", 100-pound weight teacher. There's only certain teachers that you should have with guns. It's just another part of the big issue. We'll Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Thank you for everybody for calling in. I know we couldn't get to everybody, but thank you for chiming in and being a part of the conversation. And conversation is what we need. The Old Testament says, come, let us reason one to another. And conversation, we don't do it every day on this show, but we do it pretty often. And that's the way we like to do it. I'm not Sean Hannity. I like to get on there and turn it into a blood sport, gladiators, and I just wail on people when they call in and hammer away for the conservative cause. And I got sick of that stuff years ago and kind of repented of it myself. And so just having conversations and kind of walking through and talking through these things where we get the idea like the National Guard. Several people were sending me notes on Facebook Live and said, hey, that National Guard idea, Steve, that's a pretty good idea. So that can happen when we're on the show. And I'm going to text here in North Carolina, I'm going to text our lieutenant governor after I get off the air and say, hey, here's an idea. What do you think? And that's what we need to do. We need to talk. We need to discuss. And then we need to take action. Talk about discussing and taking action, something that you can do. If you're here in North Carolina where I live and broadcast from, and I'm here in the Raleigh area, but this Saturday, an excellent opportunity for you ladies. This is guys, enable your wives or your daughters to be a part of this. At a great church that we used to go to for years, Bayleaf Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, is doing a women's conference this Saturday, March 10th, 8:30 in the morning to 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Paula Reinhardt is their speaker. Paula is here locally. She's an incredible author, a great woman of God, a great counselor, speaks all over the place, and I know Bayleaf is excited to have Paula on this Saturday. Hey, Paula, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, you've been at this for a while. So how long have you been training and teaching and counseling? How long has God been using you this way?
Oh, my goodness. You know, honestly, since my husband and I have been in the ministry in our 20s, I feel like I've been at it for at least 40 years in either a ministry setting or a counseling setting. And the writing and the speaking just kind of grew out of that. But I'm really excited about this morning with Bayleaf on Saturday. I so hope women in this area will come. I think it's a timely subject. We're looking at, you know, what it means to live in the chaos of the culture we're living in with a large gospel, really, how we embrace the goodness of God in the midst of all the chaos. And so that's the kind of things we'll be covering on Saturday morning.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the gospel and talking about the gospel, obviously the good news of Jesus Christ. But I think oftentimes, Paula, we minimize the gospel in terms of, well, it's about our salvation. So I can tell you when I got saved. It was back in September of 1994. That's when I accepted Jesus. Mm-hmm. So the gospel took root then. But really, don't you think we need to, and I know you're going to talk about this on Saturday, what Paula's going to be talking about is called Exhale, Exploring Vulnerability, Grit, and the Goodness of God. The gospel really is something that should infect every nook and cranny of our lives every day, shouldn't it?
Well, that's really kind of what I'm getting into, that a small gospel just won't hold the weight of our life. And so we're going to look at the gospel in terms of the four classic acts, you know, creation and the way life ought to be, but the fall, the way we find it right now, how it is, and what can be. What does redemption actually look like in a day-to-day way? And then how do we live in hope of what will be? Because I'm convinced that if we don't really take in the big picture and take it in deeply, we will not draw the right conclusions about the goodness of God. And that's what enables us to really walk this out well.
What a great point. We're talking to Paula Reinhart. She's going to be at Bayleaf Church, which is here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I'm broadcasting from. But Paula also is a great author and has written several books. So whether you can are here in the area can take an advantage of that, you can also take advantage of what God has placed into Paula just by visiting her website. What's your website, Paula?
It's really just paulareinhart.com. And probably the book that most women associate me with is Strong Women, Soft Hearts. So this material that I'm going to teach on Saturday is out of a book that I'm currently writing with a friend, and I think it will appeal to just any woman who comes through the door, and you can still register till Thursday. So it would be a great way to spend Saturday morning, and there's lunch, and it'll be a lovely time.
And the website is bayleaf.org. That's where you can register for this, bayleaf.org. And Paula, I mean, you've been teaching women and doing counseling for years, and here we are. It's 2018, which is hard to believe. Your average woman's life today versus 20 or 30 years ago, how much more difficult is it for a woman in church today to kind of live out this gospel life than it was 30 years ago, or is it pretty much stay the same?
You know, that's such a good question. What I often say, and say it privately to my husband, but I say that the women I talk to by 20 have experienced as much in their life as the women I used to talk to who might have lived a whole 40 years.
Wow.
There's just so much that's happened. I mean, in all our lives, and you just can't make it through this culture unscathed, so to speak. But the resources in Jesus are so rich. They are so rich. And I love helping women get into that in a deeper way.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think that unfortunately, and guys do this too, but I think it's probably a bigger problem for women of every age is with social media and Facebook and all that stuff. There's so much comparison going on, and we see the highlight reels of everybody's life. And, you know, and it looks like I was like, Paula, I was thinking on New Year's Eve, I'm the only one that's not in an exotic location at some incredible party with all these beautiful friends of mine. I'm sitting at home, you know, watching TV or whatever. Is that a problem for women generally when you're doing conference speaking that we're comparing ourselves to these really unnatural and not even real standards that we see all over the place?
Well, it is the drawback, really, of social media. And it is, as people say, that comparison is the thief of joy. But, you know, really the stories that all of us are living are just so right out of the stories, right out of the scripture. What I often
say is there are no Southerners in the Bible. I mean, it just tells it like it is, and it matches the stories that we are living. But you're exactly right. It's just kind of a fatal act, I guess you'd say, to sit and read our own lives in comparison to other people, because we're just not seeing what's really there. And honest to goodness, that's what I love about counseling. I realize that we are all telling the same story. Rich, poor, old, young, it's, you know, we are all living in a fallen world and experiencing the effect of it.
We're talking to Paula Reinhart. She's doing the women's conference this Saturday at Bayleaf Church, which is an outstanding church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So if you're in the North Carolina area and take that time, which would be well worth it. I'm going to ask you another question about that in a second, Paula. The website you can go to is bayleaf.org. It's a super easy website, bayleaf.org, to register this Saturday, March 10th, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Paula, how important is it for women to take a time? I mean, it's hard. They're busy at home. They're busy with their activities, with children. Mm-hmm. Travel, whatever it is, how important is it for any of us, but women in particular, to take this kind of time out of your crazy schedule and go invest it in just the Word of God and other women and having that time to step away from all the madness? How critical is that these days?
Well, you know, I think that's what's really special about this kind of time. There is something about being with other women. There's something about being able to just sit and take it in and then talk about it with other women that begins to really rearrange the furniture in our soul, so to speak. And that's why I'd take a weekend and talk to a group of women or take a Saturday morning, because I feel like it's one of the major places in our life where things actually change and the body of Christ is at work in a special way.
Yeah, because I think as a husband, as a father looking from the outside in, I mean, us guys, because we're not all that relational, kind of assume all the ladies are having great relationships and spending time together. But I think that's probably not as close to accurate as I had hoped it would be. Is that what you've found in all your teaching and counseling over the years?
Well, you know, what has happened is that as every year goes by, all of us are a little more lonely. Mm-hmm. Our lives are a little more fragmented, and we have to work a little bit harder, really, to actually have real conversations with each other. We're moving too fast. And that's part of what the wonder of just kind of having a morning together, what it accomplishes. So, yes, we're all kind of starved for real conversations with each other.
And obviously there's a lot of women. We're on in 8 different states now, and there's women listening that I can't possibly get here this Saturday. But if you can, if you're in the area, just go to bayleaf.org. But what's just a quick word of encouragement to women listening to us around the country, Paula, just in terms of kind of just the busyness of life, how we can kind of feel disconnected from the bigger story of the scripture and the gospel? Just a word of encouragement to those listening that can't get here.
Well, you know, I think the women listening to this radio show would be a lot like myself, where we have seen this week what it looks like in a man's life, in a family's life. I'm thinking of Billy Graham and his family, what it looks to walk it out faithfully in good times and bad times over a long life, and just how rich that is. And I think that's what we're all after, is how to remain faithful in the midst of a culture that's kind of falling apart in places. And I think the Spirit of God is mightily at work in our day.
Yeah, and certainly, and I think we forget that. We sit there and go, well, that's Billy Graham or that's Ann Graham Lotz or whatever it is. But the power of God's at work, and it's available in every person's life. You don't have to have the last name of Graham or even somebody like Paula Reinhart. That's available. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available in your life today. Paula, thanks so much for calling in and sharing with us a little bit.
Thank you. Thank
you're very,
you
very welcome.
Much.
We hope to see you again real soon. Bayleaf.org. If you're here in the Raleigh area, anywhere in North Carolina, really, listening on the Truth Radio Network, do not miss this opportunity. Paula's really, really a great woman of God, and you would be blessed. Bayleaf.org is the website. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. God willing, we'll talk again real soon.